due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another installment of the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table tonight, still a little sparse, but just glad people are here. Let's start with my numbers guy, Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Who in their right mind thought bringing back Dixie Carter was a good idea? Who?
Certainly was not me. And apparently we are not safe on any spot on the planet, including our man halfway around the world, Shane Bad News Beeman.
Oh, forget about Dixie Carter. Who the fuck thought it was a good idea to get Perez Hilton on fucking debuting TNA segment? Jesus Christ.
That's right. Relevant to today's youth, that Perez Hilton.
Wait. And that's up there with little side bits like Vince Russo joining JCW.
Oh, wow. Or Vince Russo joining Rocky Mountain Pro. Hi, Johnny Nova, how you doing?
Oh, boy. Let's step away from those dumpster fires and actually talk about some wrestling. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Where to begin?
Begin at the beginning. WWE would probably be the best idea, considering we're finally on the road to Blood Money Rumble. And we also have a match for next week that got set up this week. Punk is facing off against your favorite wrestler in the entire world, Nikki.
Indeed, that Finn Balor has decided that he wants to step up because he wants to face Punk in his hometown, in his homeland.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's from County Wicklow.
Yes.
And I don't know where that is in relevant in relation to Belfast. But to be honest, even if Finn was not my favorite wrestler in the whole wide universe, I think I would definitely be stepping up to watch this, because these two both have strong technical backgrounds. Finn has a wild card in if he wants to bust out the demon thing, although it sounds like he doesn't want to do that anymore because of the stigma that Vince essentially put on him.
Yeah. Blame him.
I know, but as somebody who's been blessed to have seen the demon 3 different times, let's just say I'm spoiled and biased.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, Bray, County Wicklow is just south of Dublin, or southeast of Dublin. Belfast is in the north, or the northern reaches of in Northern Ireland.
Okay. So, and I enjoyed the fact that he was pretty much nooched into doing this with, I think it was Roxanne who kind of needled with him with, "We're going to go get gold. What are you doing? You're sitting in here playing video games." You know, Does Dominic still have 2 belts?
Yes.
Yes, Dominic's still got the IC and the
Triple A.
And I know JD's
and Raquel's going after it. And Raquel's going after the women's world title, so.
And Perez and Morgan are trying to get in with the women's tag titles, so. Yes, Finn, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Putting down his game controller and getting into Punk's face. Yeah. Thankfully.
Yeah, here I was thinking that they were going to be the ones turning Dominic face, but it looks like Finn might be the one that's heading on the out and out.
Mm-hmm. I always thought that at some point when the Judgment Day was just going to collapse, that Finn and Dominic were going to be at each other's throats.
Yeah, still waiting for that, but I don't know if it's ever going to happen at this point.
I don't think so. I don't know how much longer Finn's going to be sticking around.
Mm-hmm.
And Dominic's already on to bigger and better things.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Speaking of Judgment Day, getting one step closer to possibly winning more belts. Liv Morgan and Roxanne Perez beat Bayley and Lyra and the Kabuki Warriors to become number one contenders for the women's belts, or the women's tag belts.
And
yeah,
I believe... Go ahead, Shane.
I was going to say, yeah, and Liv Morgan had a little tidbit, I don't know if it was on Raw or after Raw, basically saying that Rhea Ripley was the Batman to her Joker situation, so
okay.
which I liked.
Yeah.
She's not wrong.
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
And I would pay lots of money to watch Rhea murder Liv some more. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Yep.
Okay.
And then also Raquel Rodriguez is attacking Stephanie Vaquer and setting herself up for the women's belt. So, yeah.
I want to be excited about this, yeah. I want to be excited about this, I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 100% excited about this because Raquel deserves it, especially after the last year that she's had. She's finally figured out she's a big woman and she's working as a big woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's not, like, I'm sure even, wish Brian was here for this, but I'm sure even Kevin Nash would be saying, "Now that's a big woman."
The fact that the fact that people are calling her Big Mommy Cool, Kevin Nash is like, okay, it's gimmick infringement. I hope I'm getting royalties for this.
Yeah, look, like, don't get me wrong, I've liked Stephanie Vaquer as champion. Just, I feel like Raquel can do the exact same thing. Sorry, hang on a second. I feel like she can do a lot more because she speaks more fluent English and Spanish, which is sort of what they're trying to get with Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm waiting for the inevitable. Let me see a big argument with, what is it? Let's see. Vaquer, Julia, and any one of the Japanese wrestlers. Just to see who speaks what else.
Yeah, well, that's why I felt like they dropped the ball with Cesaro. Like, if you're wanting to, back when he was in WWE, like, that man apparently spoke 5-6 different languages. It's like, well, how the hell was he not a main champion for a...
Go ahead.
For a multinational company, like...
Because Vince still didn't understand the world in World Wrestling Entertainment.
Yep, he never will. Never.
And Cesaro, I really thought that, you know, with the 007 gimmick they gave him for a little while, that he could have been doing a whole bunch of stuff with the multilingualist stuff, where he would be talking to someone, and sometimes he'll talk off camera to somebody in another language.
Mm-hmm.
And get interrupted. You know, who are you talking to? Oh, no one you know. It'd have been a hell of a way to bring in international talent. But you know, Vince got a Vince.
Yep. For better or largely for worse.
Mostly for worse, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now that Rodriguez has pretty much got herself together, you know, I want to be excited for this. I really, really do.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really do. I just don't know why I'm not.
Yeah.
Because the back of your mind's probably saying what a lot of us are saying, that it might be something that we all want, but it's not exactly what we're going to get from WWE.
No, it's also the fact that, let's see, Raquel's been there, what, 3 years?
3 years, two on the main, I'm pretty sure. Or was that 3 years on the main, 5 years total? I don't know. Because I know her and Rhea were tearing it up in NXT in, pretty sure it was 2021,
2020?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I do not recall. I'm just... Okay.
Raquel Rodriguez has been with WWE since October of 2016.
Dang, almost a decade.
Was in NXT from 2017 until she debuted on the main roster on SmackDown in April 2022. So she's been on the main roster for 3 years.
Wow,
nearly 3 years.
So shoot me. I thought she'd only been with the company for 3 years, but my brain isn't functioning very well today.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna enjoy it regardless. I'm just saying I'm not excited.
Yeah.
What else happened? What else happened Monday night?
Let's see now. Oh yeah, Braun Breaker and Adam Pearce got into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it stemmed from the fact that Uncle Paul kept telling him, no, Breaker's not here.
Mm-hmm.
Which is mostly a truth. I'm guessing when Uncle Paul said that, Braun Breaker wasn't there at the moment.
Yep.
So when Breaker went out there and crashed the party, you know, Pierce losing his mind brings out the local talent. I mean, security.
Mm-hmm.
And fists started flying and officials tried to break all of this up.
Pierce tried to break everything up because Braun came down and holy shit. Did anyone get check to see if Dragon Lee's okay? He looked like he got hit by a freaking semi truck. That man come down so fast and speared the shit out of him. I was like, I'm sure even Goldberg looked at that and went, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. After he half murdered Dragon Lee and then did some damage to Penta, and all hell broke loose.
Yeah, Pierce is there trying to get Braun Breaker out of the ring, saying, I'm sick of your shit, Braun, I'm sick of your shit. And then he's not paying attention behind him, where then Bronson Reed's going for a tsunami and killing Dragon Lee some more. Mm-hmm. It's at this point, a priest would go over Dragon Lee and go, Vaya con Dios.
Seriously.
You're done.
Seriously. If Pierce had hair, he'd have pulled it all out by now. He's like, I've had enough of your shitbreaker. I'm suspending you. Get out of the building.
Yep.
Oh, but what your Uncle Paul said, though, was the pièce de résistance to this.
You and touched this him up beautifully. First.
Yes.
And he's not which wrong.
Which means the suspension's going to last a week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but and here's a question I've got to ask, because we've seen Pierce getting a lot more physical with talent lately. Is this setting up for Pierce doing one last hurrah? Like just a one-off match, just as his own little retirement get thing from in-ring competition altogether. I know he supposedly did that back in ROH, I'm pretty sure, or NWA.
Mm-hmm.
But
I know Pierce hasn't said as much about it that, you know, unlike Aldis, who's pretty much said, you know, tell me when.
Put I'm me in, coach. Yeah. I'm ready.
Pierce, I don't know. I would love to see him do a one-off match.
Yeah, it's just I'm a person who is a firm believer, especially in the wrestling business. If you're a general manager, you should not be able to put your hand on talents unless you're getting ready to either get the shit kicked out of you or have a match. Because we've seen it with all other like general managers and that in the past. Like hell, even Vince McMahon got in the ring multiple times. But Bischoff had his match with Austin, buddy Coachman had multiple matches, Foley. That speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm just a firm believer in if you're a general manager and you're either A, not going to be in a match down the line, or B, cannot take a bump physically, you should not touch talent, period.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why, go ahead.
Because it just it takes away from the mystique, like it takes away from not only the mystique of it, but the realism of it. Because realistically, if I'm Braun Breaker and I've got a guy I know for a fact I can break in half, I would have speared Pierce right there and then. I wouldn't have even hesitated because he'd touch me. It's like the Austin rule. It's like,
yeah, you touch me, you get stunnered.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And I'm guessing I don't think they're going to actually do this, but put Pierce in the ring. But if Pierce can still take a bump.
Yeah.
Then I think Braun should escalate. In fact, you try to suspend me. You know what you touch me first. I should sue, but I think I'm going to do something better. It just spears Pierce into the next month.
Yeah, as far as I know, he still can. He just... Adam just kind of stepped back from wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Being an active in-ring performer.
Yeah, which is understandable, because especially, like, some guys have seen what the older generation have gone through and gone, okay, I think we're going to step away after 40 or before 40, make our money in our early 20s, late 30s, and retire so we can still move around.
Oh, boy. So, I'm hoping that to a point, I would like them to steer away from Pierce actually having a match. Breaker just spearing him, spear death. would, you know, we could have Pierce just managing remotely. He's like, you know what? This is the best part of my job now. I don't have to be there to break all this shit up. I don't have to be in the middle of it all. I don't feel like I need a drink after every altercation.
Mm-hmm. Witness protection probably would be a better option if you're going to go that route.
Yeah.
Okay, we've had to put Pierce in a witness protection because Braun Breaker has said he's going to kill him. Make that like a slow build to the point where either they have a match or Pierce comes back because he thinks that Braun's not in the building. Braun just comes out of nowhere, spears the absolute shit out of him, and he's gone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
There are worse fates.
True. And then from there, the main event of the evening. Gunther beating AJ Styles.
And AJ getting in his perennial nut shot early.
Mm-hmm.
As Gunther is well aware of that vulnerability.
Yeah.
Taking advantage, I believe, of a ref bump.
Yep. And, well, not... It was, yeah, there was a ref bump, but... Yeah.
It wasn't so much... It wasn't so much a ref bump, per se. Gunther actually took advantage of his ring general persona and outsmarted Styles. He... without the referees seeing him, he's secretly tapped AJ on the leg, signaling a tap out, to which AJ's gotten up and gone, "Hey, I've won," and the ref's going, "What the hell are you doing?" And then that's when the ref bump happened, and he's low blowed AJ.
Yeah.
Okay, Josh, were you not like happy with that ending, or?
It was okay, but it's more of a, I hate saying this, but Gunther might be getting a bit too hard pushed. I get what we're aiming. I just wish this were at a bigger event instead of a random Raw.
I think that's why they set it up as they did. So I guarantee you this upcoming week on Raw, AJ is going to show the footage of Gunther tapping. Gunther will come out and say, "Well, I still beat you, AJ, and I did not tap." And that'll set up them to either set up for Saudi with the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Or setting up for Saturday night main event.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can see that.
Knowing AJ, it'd be Saturday night's main event. No, that match was not the retirement match. That is not.
Oh, it's definitely not the retirement match. No. Yeah. It's definitely not the retirement match. But it is becoming a theme though, with the retirement matches. That retirement matches are happening on Saturday night's main event. So it's just like. So it's like, if they do this match at Saturday night's main event, this will be the third time that Gunther has beaten a legend on Saturday night's main event, potentially, and retired three of them.
Yeah. And that would make him even more insufferable. Which... Yeah,
agreed.
I mean, it's a good thing, especially since he will eventually need to be knocked down. It's just, I worry a little bit that they're going to try to push him like Brock Lesnar, and no. We don't need another one. Not for a long time.
Well, yeah, well, Brock's apparently supposed to be one of his victims, so...
I'm guessing that's happening at SummerSlam in Minneapolis.
Yeah, that's what that's what a lot of people are reporting.
Provided, you know, shit doesn't go completely sideways in Minneapolis, which it's looking like it could.
I'm glad I don't live there anymore.
Yeah, because it's chaos.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't take this the wrong way, but I'm glad I'm not an American period at this point in time.
I don't blame you, Shane.
No, it's dumb, and I'm, you know, I like where I'm at. And since the Minneapolis government isn't going to clamp down on this correctly, then they deserve every ounce of chaos they can get.
The state government is now.
Only because the city wouldn't do it, because they were too chicken shit about it. And that's what happened the first time.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, no, it's... I was there for the first round of riots, and thankfully it never got close to where I lived.
Yeah.
But I had a temp job where I had to go clean up some of that mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had torched a liquor store and a library.
Yep.
And
haven't done
the library...
that yet.
Oh, it's coming. But the first round, yeah, they, you know, I got to work at the library as we were trying to figure out what books we could recover.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tried to move them to a facility. We had to carry them to a facility where they were going to be worked on, a facility that wasn't prepared for it, a facility that wasn't adequate for how we could get everything inside and in place.
Okay.
It was just stupid.
Anyways.
But the whole thing was stupid. Now, back to the show.
Gunter will probably become really insufferable by year end.
Although, they gotta be careful. If he retires Brock, he might turn him face.
Mm-hmm.
True, but
no.
Oh, I don't know. Like, Brock's personal shit aside, fans like him as a wrestler, and like that he comes in, destroys shit, and leaves. Mm-hmm. That it's part of his whole shtick, and everyone and the fans enjoy it. I'm sure as shit Minneapolis fans will not cheer him if he beats Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, but other fans, I don't know, wait and see the reactions.
Mm-hmm. Did anything of note really happen on NXT this week?
I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Looks like, yeah, it's a whole lot of not much this week. Outside of Jada Parker's back and went after Blake Monroe.
Okay.
So there's that. All Elite Wrestling wound up signing a few new people. Officially, anyway.
Yeah,
Oh, hang on. That's right. That was TNA. Never mind. I was like, there was some big news that happened on NXT, but I'm like, no, wait, that's TNA. Never mind.
Yeah, because in AEW, they hired in a few people from, CMLL. Hechicero is official. Mascara Dorada is official. Persephone is official. And a new trios are official. The Rascals.
Yay!
Yep, everyone sans Trey Miguel are officially in All Elite Wrestling. So, yeah, half a dozen new people get in the door. Overdue for half of them, but The other half, hey, nice to see him actually moving up in the world.
Yeah.
And they also had their first vignette on, or not vignette, but backstage segment on Collision this week.
Okay.
And if you don't think they weren't hotboxing, you're wrong.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
They were higher than RVD in Denver. Come on.
Yeah, dude. And then also on Dynamite, Hangman and Jespy challenged the Ops for the World Trios titles, which is happening tonight. And spoiler alert, the Adam Page and Jespy win the belts because Powerhouse Hobbs is done with AEW.
Yes, his deal, I think his deal was pretty much signed and sealed with the Fed.
Yes, his deal expired and he is going over to WWE in the immediate future.
You think they'll debut him at the Rumble? Or no. They'll wait for after WrestleMania?
They're probably going to get him in NXT, get him acclimated, then put him on to the main roster. Essentially, he's going to follow along the same deal as Blake Monroe.
Okay. I'm good with that. Hobbs has been up and down and they're in AEW spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been periods where it's like, well, where is he?
Yeah. And
it's not because of injury. It's just because creative had nothing for him. And that's frustrating for any wrestler. So I don't blame him.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Because unfortunately, yeah, AEW, you can get lost if you're not being pushed. You can get lost real easy.
Yep. And some people need to get lost, Mox. Go on your fucking vacation.
It's not happening anytime soon.
I know. But as he's told me before, wrestling is his vacation.
Uh-huh.
I swear, Renee should make him sleep in the doghouse with Blue.
Yeah.
No wonder Nora calls him John and not Dad.
Ooh! How do you know this, Nikki?
I read it somewhere.
Are you sure you just didn't hear it from Mox's own mouth?
Well, if not, I saw it on tweet from Renee, where we've got to teach Nora more words than John and John Bacon and now.
Damn.
Wow. But yes, AEW is doing well, and also their next pay-per-view, Revolution, which will be next month, is already well ahead of their attendance numbers for last year's Revolution. Last year at this time, they were around 5,500 to 6,000. Right now, they have over 7,500 sold.
Nice.
Yeah. So things are picking up again in AEW land. I'm okay with this.
No, so am I. If they can get their stories in good shape and they keep their ticket prices reasonable,
mm-hmm.
people are going to start heading that way.
Yeah, especially with how WWE is being WWE. So,
well, how WWE is being led by TKO, but anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you're actually going to have a show coming your way on Valentine's Day there, Shane.
Yes, I know. And my wife has made it very clear, do not even look at her about going to said show because she's not watching a fucking wrestling show on Valentine's Day. And I'm like, yeah, fair enough. Well, most women would probably think that way.
Yeah, I'm just wanting to look at the prices, see how it is.
I did look at it. It was definitely cheaper than WWE.
For example, you want to be seen on camera, it's 500 Australian, so that's about 300 to 330, something like that, American right now.
I'll let you know in a second. Just bear with me. At the Kudos Bank Arena. Wow.
And there's some accessible seats, or there's some wheelchair accessible spots actually in row 6 for $750. Or as close as you can get would be third row for $1,000. That's not terrible.
There's still some third row seats in Kudos Bank Arena for VIP, $999, which is not bad, but compared to WWE.
Yeah, and then just to get in the door for this for this special, it is $147. But those are for restricted view. Oh no, some of them aren't. So, $147.75. It's just short of $100. That's not horrible for a special at Kudos Bank.
Like I said, it's definitely cheaper than WWE, but oh, Tony, you could have picked couldn't have picked a more worse day to do it.
Yeah,
because that's why he's got same. Well, two reasons why he's got still row C, which is the third fucking row. He's got heaps of seats still available. That one. Yeah. One is because of Valentine's Day, because, like, do you know how many women are going to be pissed if their husbands, like, as much as they love wrestling, try and take their husbands to take them to
unless the watch women wrestling love on the Valentine's wrestling Day? Just as much, if not more.
I've rarely found any women like that here in Australia. But, I'll let you clarify that.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's plenty of them in the States. But in Australia, I don't know many. And they haven't promoted many matches for the event. Like, at least with like Melbourne and Perth, like you got some headline matches within the first few weeks of announcements, so people would be like, oh shit, yeah, we gotta buy tickets to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like Taker's last match, I was pissed I missed that, and Cena's last match in Australia, I'm like, god damn it.
yeah,
but did you really want to sacrifice a kidney for that?
Well, if I did, I wouldn't have any kidneys because I've only got one.
I did not know that.
I retract my question.
I would have been selling my house for that, probably. Or a car.
I want to see more signs like that in WWE crowds. I sold my house, my car, my soul, my wife for these tickets.
If someone held up a sign saying I sold my wife for tickets, then that you'd have need Ron's Ron Killings coming through. Like, I don't think that's PG.
I didn't even know that. I don't even think that's PG. Well, the sign would get confiscated pretty quickly, but
yes,
I still like the one sign I saw. My last WWE show. Thanks, $TKO.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's a fact. Like Brock Lesnar guy said goodbye. The impersonators have even said goodbye. I think I haven't seen them in front row for a while. It's getting too expensive.
I've noticed I've noticed I haven't seen Trinidad Tobago guy much. Smiley guy still gets in.
And Sign guy I've seen more in AEW.
Yeah. I've only seen him once at a WWE event last, like, 3 years, so...
Mm-hmm. And I just seen him, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago at AEW?
Yeah. I don't even know if the Tuckers are going to shows after Kevin died, the father.
Mm-hmm.
The last show I went to was in May, and I got a deep discounted ticket because it was day of.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't sniffed a show since.
So. Yeah, the last WWE show I went to, this will tell you how long it's been since I've been able to afford one, was back when Eddie was still alive.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
Yeah. That was the last WWE live event I went to.
And now that they're not doing house shows,
which yeah, usually sort
a lot,
of...
which it sucks. It, you know, those were usually a lot cheaper and a lot more fun.
Yeah, well, the one down in they because of the massive sellout they got in Perth, they actually did one in Melbourne, but I couldn't even go to the one in fucking Melbourne. I was like, this is crap.
Yeah.
If they did it in Sydney, I might have been able to wing something. But, oh well. As always this year, later this year if they come again. But
well, we'll
wait
see.
And see.
But
we had some big moments up, but we did have some big moments on TNA though on Thursday.
And yeah. This was their debut on AMC.
Yes, this is the debut show.
Yeah. Styles came out to Ready to Fly.
Much to his chagrin, because I know he hates it.
Yeah.
but he was so happy to be back in TNA, and looks like they're teasing him going after the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. Like, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if Styles does not retire in a WWE-esque event and he retires at like Bound for Glory or something.
Wouldn't surprise me much.
Actually, that'd be a whole lot better. Nothing against the Fed, but AJ helped build TNA.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this week was also a lot of comings and goings in TNA land. Because we had two people, or what would it be, two more come in?
Yeah, so we had a new authority figure come in with surprise return of Daria Ray, FKA... Sonya Deville.
Yes.
Oh.
She played the villain authority figure, saying, well, TNA no longer needs Santino around. Mm-hmm. So she's helping him out to correct the ship. And yeah. She did that by bringing in the newest knockout, which, Josh...
Yes, was the former Cora Jade, Elena Black. And the crowds went mild on both of them. Or, let me be honest, the crowds probably weren't mild, it's just the arena was mic'd very badly.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fans were interested in Cora... in Elena Black. She's apparently only signed a 1-year deal with TNA. No word on Daria's contract status.
Yeah.
With the company. And then we had Ying Mei Li come out.
Yep, Yi Ling.
And,
Yeah,
oh, Yingling Li.
yeah, that'd be the name.
Yep. Come out, and the former Xia Li.
Yeah.
And she came out to celebrate winning the Knockouts Championship and said that she was going to do an open challenge, to which Zarya appeared, and I lost my shit. Then Sol Ruka was behind her, and I was like, oh, okay. So Sol Ruka's getting a shot at the TNA Knockouts Championship. But to my surprise, she said there's no one more deserving of getting a championship shot than Zarya. I was like, oh, hell yeah, let's go.
Yep, and when did they have that match already?
Yeah, Li Ying Li. So there you go. Li Ying Li actually defeated Zarya
Okay.
clean to retain. I was like, ah. Okay. And you mentioned goings as well, Josh. So we've seen the last of Fan Dong Johnny Curtis. Oh wait, no,
Yes.
JDC.
Yep. Who lost his final match to Eddie Edwards, Edwards. And yes, I say it that way because Eddie Edwards' gimmick is pretty much Eddie's himself. That's it.
Well, given that Curtis has been doing this since the
Late
mid
90s.
2000s, really?
It was either late 90s or early 2000s. Despite his age, he debuted as a wrestler in 1999 under Killer Kowalski.
Because I remember that one of the first times I saw him was at a house show in 2008 with Stryker either managing him or introducing him.
Yeah, he at that point, JDC or Dango was almost a decade into his career.
Wow.
Almost a decade.
But it
But in that
was,
decade, go ahead.
I was about to say, but that decade into the business was still not enough for Chris Jericho saying, how the hell do you want me to wrestle at WrestleMania against this freaking loser? Like, who the hell is this guy? Oh, Jesus. To the point where even Mark Calloway had to step in and said, just fucking do it.
Yeah.
And fashion police forever.
Yes.
Give me Dango and Breezy as the fashion police forever.
But other than that, let's see now.
We don't have much more on TNA because they've got an event still going.
Yep. The main event's probably happening sooner or later.
Yeah, I know Triple A's debut at the moment has happened, which Rey Mysterio started the show, to which crowds lost their shit on
Yeah.
Triple A on
Well,
Fox.
do you blame him?
No, as much as I like to say that the greatest Mysterio of all time is Dominic Mysterio. Ray is still loved by all.
Because because Ray Ray is the eternal face.
Hey, I don't care what anyone says. I still remember Filthy Animal Ray.
Oh no, I remember him too, and him and his paste on devil horns. And oh, by the way, he still looks 12.
Dang.
I wouldn't go that far. Like when he takes his mask off now, you can definitely see, like, he doesn't look 12 now, he at least looks 30 now. But yeah, he definitely still does not look his age.
Yeah.
Well, same thing with Roderick Strong. You know, when he debuted in NXT, I was like, wow, now he looks old enough to shave. Well, seriously, I've got a pic with him from an ROH show in 05. I look like I'm taking a picture with a fan.
Let's see now. From here, we go to SmackDown.
And SmackDown's got a lot going on because they were coming up with some number one contenders who were going to face Drew. Interestingly, yeah. those final four is three faces and a heel.
Mm-hmm. And considering that Drew's still pretty much a heel, yeah.
That at least casts some doubt into the outcome because it's Priest, Sammy, Trick Williams, and who'd I miss? Who was the fourth?
Orton.
Thank you.
It was Randy, yeah.
The money match would be Drew and Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, yes, technically, yes. Yeah, correct. Yes. Drew and Sammy would be the other one because the story that they're going with is that Sammy has never pinned Drew in I'm trying to remember what the stat is. In 11 years, he's never pinned him?
No, they've had 11 or 12 matches, and Sammy has never won.
So do you have Sammy win in Montreal, or does he lose again to go back and win the Rumble? Although I'm worried because during the show, Cody announced that he was entering the Rumble and mentioned something about Stone Cold Steve Austin's back to back to back. Or was it just three Rumbles?
It was just three, that Austin's won three Rumbles. Yeah, so. Yes. Austin's got the most wins with three Rumbles, so Cody's saying he's going to do the same thing. Just quickly, some breaking news as well. It's literally only happened a couple minutes ago. Santos Escobar has made his return, finally. He appeared on AAA on Fox, appearing in his old El Hijo del Fantasma mask.
Nice.
And he took out the AAA Latin American champion, El Hijo Dr. Wagner Jr., and took the championship and then took his mask off.
Mm.
And the crowd apparently went bonkers for him.
They should. He's a good-looking dude.
Mm-hmm.
Even better with his shirt off. Oh, hi.
Keep it in your pants, Nikki.
I can't help it. We talked him into taking his shirt off at SmackDown. Anyway.
But depending on the story you want to go with, if you're wanting to do this big story with Sammy, have Drew cost Sammy his qualifying match, have Randy win the Saturday night main event Fatal 4-Way and have it Drew versus McIntyre in Saudi. Have Sammy go into the Royal Rumble, and it's pretty much already getting set up for Sammy to win the Rumble at this point. Like,
yes.
So have Sammy win the match, go on to face Drew at WrestleMania and get the underdog story finally fulfilled, winning the big one against
something
the one
much
man
deserved
he can't beat.
Right, something much deserved for a guy who I've never heard a bad word about Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some interesting words about Jericho, but I've never heard a bad word about Sammy.
Well, Generico and Sammy are not the same person. Like, they're two completely different.
I know. I understand. But they're tied somewhere in their pasts have crossed here and there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only reason I bring him up.
But yeah, I have no doubt in my mind. This is definitely getting set up for Sammy to win the Rumble, I think. And whoever the runner-up is will potentially win an Elimination Chamber match to go face their champion at Elimination Chamber. So.
Oh, I wish I could find it. I wish I could find it.
The only thing that is going to shock me is if number 30 with the Rumble is like Obafemi or somebody, and they're going with a surprise newcomer winning the Rumble. That would be the only thing that would surprise me. But at this point in time, with the fact that it's Saudi Arabia, Sammy's on a hot streak at the moment. All the stars are aligning for Sammy to win the Rumble.
And
But we shall wait and see.
yeah, it's perfect, almost too perfect. But man, if it happened, there'd be nothing left of the building. There'd be nothing left of Saudi if he went out there.
But there was one other big thing that happened on SmackDown this week. That's right, the return of Kit Wilson! Wait a minute.
Hang on, dude. You can joke about that as much as you want to, but the fans are actually getting behind this dude.
Yeah, they
Like,
are. First of all, his theme song rocks.
Yes.
and when he's posting stuff like this, it's sort of hard not to get behind him. Trying to post it. Where is it? I lost it. You gotta be joking me. He posted recently on X, toxic TOXIC, and then the C is made up of Jacob Fatu doing the moonsault on him. Brilliant stuff.
Yeah. But in all honesty, the big ones, the US title match or the US Open Challenge continues with Leon Slater from TNA showing up.
And him and Mello, oh my Lord.
Yeah.
That was one clean mat when they were done. The twisting cutter for the finish, the inverted Asai Spanish fly. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, but it's weird though, because on TNA they said that due to passport issues, Leon can't travel to Genesis, but yet here he is with SmackDown. So it was a confusing situation.
Kayfabe, brother.
Yep. Pretty much, pretty much. That and also the other big one. We finally have our first met person announced for the Rumble. Cody Rhodes. Finally, with less than 2 weeks to go now till the Rumble itself, we get our first person in the Rumble.
Hey man,
well,
I'm in.
Go ahead, Shane.
I was gonna say, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, we're like not that far off, and we've only had the first person announced for the Rumble. But I suppose that's a good thing, because it's leaving more surprise. Because I only want to know about 5 or 6 people who are going to be entering. I don't want to know about the rest. Surprise me with the rest.
And this gives Hunter a chance to do a whole bunch of hokey drawing your number skits at the Rumble proper.
Mm-hmm.
Because, come on, they haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the most memorable one was still Eddie and Flair. It's like Rick's like, yeah, woo, look at my number, and Eddie's just looking at his going, shit. It's like, hey Rick, give me some skin, man. That's good for you, Holmes, and then walks off.
Are you sure you're happy about that number, player? Guerrero, wait, my wallet.
Mm-hmm.
My bias will show here, but I still like when, I think it was Sammy was drawing for the Rumble, and Dean Ambrose is just hanging around the area. Draws the ball for him, takes out the number. So what'd I get? 8. Wait, it's upside down. 8.
Yeah.
Crickets.
Sorry.
It's right. That was John's style, though. He was always back when he was Dean Ambrose, they had to give him a lot of dry humor stuff. It's like, yeah, you got number 8. Oh wait, it's upside down. Oh wait, it's still an 8. But I know I would. But when we've got these partnerships with TNA and AAA, especially with the rumors around WWE 2K26, like, I'm hoping we'll see some surprise entrants in the Rumble as well.
I'm expecting that they'll go ahead and get some AAA and TNA people in there. Come on, Mr. Iguana, yes. In the Rumble.
Yeah. That's bound to happen. Same deal with Leon. That's probably bound to happen too.
Mm-hmm. So give me a lot of that. And I agree to a point with Shane. I like knowing, 9 or 10 participants total. Let's have 3 or 4 rumors.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest be surprises.
Yeah, because realistically, you only need about 5 or 10 of them to sell the match. The other 20, like, you really don't care about. Like, last year when they were announcing everyone, they go, oh, Otis is going to be in the Rumble, and Akira Tozawa is going to be in the Rumble, and like whoever else was going to be in the Rumble. I'm like, who cares? It's not like they're going to win. Like,
exactly.
Like, and that's not a knock on Otis or Tozawa, but like I don't think thousands of people are sitting there going, oh, you know what we got to do? We got to watch the Rumble because Tozawa's going to be in it. It's like,
well, actually, I'd rather just say, oh, I'm going to watch the Rumble to see if Tozawa actually gets there, because he was the sacrifice
exactly.
Last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that'll be the question one this year of especially in Saudi Arabia, will we see a woman enter the men's Royal Rumble this year? Who's gonna push the button?
I effing dare them. I so effing dare them.
Mm-hmm. You really want to get fans to lose their shit and get viewers' eyes on the screens? Have for the first time ever in Saudi Arabia a woman competing in the men's Royal Rumble. That woman would go down in history as the first, probably only woman to compete in the men's in the men's Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia.
If I didn't, well, no, actually, Ripley could do both. And I want it to be Rhea Ripley. So she's going out there as somebody who could probably, you know, who could hang with the guys. In fact, I want her to eliminate a couple of guys.
Yeah, it would be believable.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else?
Nothing I can really think of.
Yeah.
But
this
week was pretty
cut and dry, I must admit.
It was. But, you know, we're in a pseudo holding pattern towards the Rumble.
Yes. Which will be in 2 weeks' time from tonight. January 31st in Riyadh, which means it'll be very early in the morning here in the U.S. Let me see what time it'll be. It'll be... Sorry, folks, live research. There it is.
It's okay.
2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on ESPN here in the U.S.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's going to be an early show. I'm not sure if we're going to do a preview for it or we're going to review it that week. It all depends on who's available on Friday or Saturday.
No guarantees. Well, actually, no. Regardless of what's going on outside of this sphere, I will be available on the 30th.
Oh, okay. I mean, we're not going to do pick'ems for it, so...
No, I understand that. And we can just... We'll just review the Rumble. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I'm still excited for it because Sammy winning it would just blow everyone's mind, except those of us who kind of understand.
Mm-hmm.
And with WWE notoriously liking to make their stars lose in their hometowns, I don't see Sammy beating Drew, and Cody doesn't need to win another Rumble.
Yeah.
And for those that are wondering, as far as the rumors are concerned, Roman is not going to be anywhere near a title match this year.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know what he's going to do. Actually, that is one thing from SmackDown we need to talk about, or at least I'd like to talk about.
Mm.
The MFTs, the Wyatt Six, and the Lantern.
Oh, right. That... The Tonkin, Steel,
Solo,
yeah, go for it.
Yeah, Solo. Yeah, Solo is mesmerized by this thing,
mm-hmm.
and believes it does have some power. It's kind of like Undertaker's urn, and yeah. I feel like it should be treated that way. Well, Uncle Howdy is like, you don't understand what you're getting yourself into. You will not comprehend the powers that are in that. It's not going to destroy us. But it could destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope they play with this for a little while. We get to do something wild and supernatural at WrestleMania. I don't know if we can keep up the MFTs and the Wyatt Six till then, but got to be a way. Oh, where was Rowan?
Mm-hmm.
Where was Eric Rowan? I didn't see. He wasn't with them on SmackDown.
I'm not sure with that one. I don't know if he might have got potentially injured the week before. I don't know.
Conspicuous by his absence, because they need him against Tala Tonga. But that's something I definitely want. I'm definitely going to keep an eye on, but I like stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, do you guys want to sell some soap?
Yeah. Shane, do you have anything to promote?
Nope. Just if you guys want more wrestling opinions, just follow me on TikTok at Aussie Asshole. That's about it.
Okay. For me, it was a thing on TV this week, was Black's Magic, a mid-1980s NBC show starring Hal Linden and Harry Morgan about magicians solving crimes, kind of like Murder, She Wrote, because it was made by the same people. Coming up next week, a show that was once described by its own host as a nuclear bomb being a 2-inch salute. You're in the Picture, starring Jackie Gleason from 1961. An absolute turkey of a show and an absolutely legendary apology. You can find about all that and so much more on itwasathenontv.com. Knickknack's most recent episode is Nicktoons. How did they get created? What pilots never made it past the pilot? And the star of are talking about the three shows that did make it to air. Next episode up, Doug. That'll be youtube.com/poparina. And then, of course, WLTI, going more about game shows, and, of course, the BS Big Show, where right now we're going through the divisional rounds of the playoffs in the NFL. And all I can say is the Broncos, because Bo Nix is out for the rest of the year with a broken ankle. And the Seahawks are rolling against the Niners as of right now, ahead by 3 touchdowns, 27-6. But yeah, that is everything I have to promote. Nikki, your artist shoutouts.
I'll start immediately with Onowanvishu, because she did a very interesting comic about Sami Zayn. When he first came to WWE, he had a meeting with Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find it, look it up. I don't want to speak further into it because it might be an alternate reality.
Yeah.
Let's see if this thing will actually let me get into my messages now. Whoops. Okay. Nope, that's not where I want to be. Oh well, I can do this off the top of my head. Dozer Draws at Little Dozer Baby. If you're looking for something softer, emotional, wholesome, he's a little expensive, but he's very eager to impress. Still has my desktop screen on my tablet, mm-hmm. So check him out. If you like anime in your wrestling art, check out Otanad on Instagram and Nahol Tajes on Twitter. It's still Twitter to me, damn it.
Yes.
If you can't find Otanad or you don't have Instagram, go to Twitter, look up Uncle Paul's Twitter handle, at Heyman Hustle. You'll probably find at least half the comics there. Nahol Tajes also takes commissions. He's probably the least expensive artist I've worked with. I don't think I've paid more than $60 for any of his work. Check him out and maybe get something from him. Noberto Gaitan, fairly new to my list. Beautiful anime-esque art. A little bit on the expensive side, but also has the bonus thing of surprise me. Give him characters and a premise and let him do his thing. I think I spent $90 on a Mox Essential pick from him. But definitely look these guys up. And if you want fan art in any genre, get the work in progress before you put any money down, if you can, to make sure that this is not an AI. This is not an AI person just pressing random buttons to make your picture. You can do that to yourself for free. Those actual artists, you pay them well. You tip them generously. You take that picture and post it everywhere you have a social media presence. But make sure you credit the artist. This way we can drown out the noise of the AI people and give these folks who do this art for a living, for the recognition, for the fun, whatever. They deserve all our attentions and all of our human monies. So please do so. I don't think I have too much else because I'm right here. So for Staff Boy Josh Henniger, for Bad News Beeman, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do tune in next week as we review Saturday night's main event and all that led up to it.